This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our July 12th, 2017 edition of Invest Talk. And as always, we are here to help you become an above average investor. And one of the arch enemies of successful investing is ignorance. And don't feel bad about that when you don't know something, but know that you don't know what you don't know. First off, I think that's the number one lesson that every new investor should know, and they tend to learn pretty quickly. They realize how complex and difficult this really is, and how much work it's really going to take. And a lot of people form a false sense of confidence by just knowing in depth about one industry or one aspect of investing. And they feel that they've got it all figured out. And in reality, you'll never have it all figured out. Okay? And that's not to discourage you, just to understand that you always have to be learning. Right? Myself, Steve, we learn every day. Learn new things about the market, about industries, about companies, about chart patterns, all types of data that is thrown at us that we study that helps us get a sharper picture of what's going on. So whenever you're feeling too good about yourself and that you've had it all figured out, that usually is when the market humbles you. And this is the nature of how markets work. A lot of times they lull people into a false sense of confidence because things have been going well for a certain period of time and then suddenly they aren't. So moving ahead with the belief that we have a lot to learn, this is why we do Invest Talk. You know, our goal is to elevate the average investor to be above average. And that means eliminating the mistakes, which is usually false confidence, and that discourages the accounts of the average investor. So this is our 1 hour forum, and we welcome your input and questions, and our goal is to promote knowledge, exchange ideas, and help you to become current on important investment news and concepts and ideas. Now, one of the topics on the table today has to do with your net worth. And many people have a difficult time understanding a basic concept, the basic financial concept called net worth. So it's important for long-term planning. It's something we're now doing with our clients and how giving them tools to do that. And knowing your net worth helps achieve your goals. That's one of our talking points today. But before we do anything else, let's hear your talking point. I want to hear from you. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime line. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. So let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Yes, I had a question regarding CDs and how they would appeal to anybody. I'm basically trying to find out what the benefit is of investing into them. Thank you. Bye.
All right, well, CDs are and good investments for people that are very, very conservative, right? They are FDIC insured if you're getting them with a U.S. bank that has a bank charter. So they're FDIC insured, meaning you don't have a risk of loss. You're going to get some sort of interest rate, even though today the interest rates are very low. You can do various maturities of CDs. You can do a 3-month CD up to maybe even 30-year CDs. And everywhere in between. So the benefits are safety and some, albeit low, income in today's environment. And for those people who are looking to, they have money today and they're going to need it in the relatively near future, maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years, anything in that time frame. And they want to put that money to work to earn some sort of interest, but they know pretty much when they're going to need that money. CDs can be a great tool. Once again, not earning high interest, but you're not going to be subject to losing principal as well. So hope that gives you a good understanding of how you can use CDs, the benefits of them, and the drawbacks, which is obviously low yield. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278 is the number how to get through right now. And you can ask whatever question you want that involves money, the markets, an individual stock, an industry, cryptocurrencies, whatever it is, we want to hear from you. Now, managing a portfolio with all the proper resources to give you an edge over other traders can be expensive. And in reality, it's almost impossible for retail investors to be able to compete with large institutions who have the manpower and almost unlimited resources. However, institutions are operating by humans who frequently make mistakes. And they're subject to the same type of emotions as you. Doesn't mean they fall prey to them as much, but with all trades being two sides, their mistakes are possibly your gains. And in its most basic form, understanding and screening for strong companies using strong fundamentals and a logical forecast of growth can be extremely profitable when investing in long-term trends. So one valuable resource, which is free, may help you in this pursuit. It's called Financial Visualizations. It's from finviz.com. It's one of our favorite free sites, websites out there. And it strives to provide leading financial research, analysis, and visualization of the markets. It has screening tools, market maps, analysis, comparative tools, charts, etc. It's a really nice tool. I think anybody who's trying to do this on their own and screen for individual stocks, it's one of the probably would be my go-to. So we have, you know, us for KBP, we have a little more powerful tools that go a little bit more in depth. And if you saw one of our webinars recently, you'll see that. But FYI, that's FinViz is one of those great sites. Now, knowing your net worth helps achieve your goals. Now, the question is how? It's one of our talking points today. I also have some others as well. I want to go over the labor report that came out on Friday. I was going to do this on Monday, didn't really get to it, but I think it will give a good insight of what that number meant and how strong was it. It was a strong number. The headline number was pretty strong. Where was that in context to the past months? And then Trump is still talking about tax reform. And where might that impact? Where might that impact your tax situation? Okay? Where might that impact your tax situation and your write-offs? And I'll give you some interesting stats and what Congress is targeting to get rid of when it comes to deductions. And then how to fund a long retirement. You know, life expectancy is rising every year because of advancements in healthcare. And we're going to talk about what that means for retirement planning. So those are what's on my mind. So I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question. And I try to urge people to make a call sooner rather than later than waiting till the end of the show. Now, let's take a look at the market today. We have the Dow up 123, S&P up 17, NASDAQ up 67. And commodities were about flat. You had had Janet Yellen testify, or Humphrey Hawkins' testimony, about monetary policy and where it's headed. And I don't think there was a lot of really groundbreaking news or quotes from that front. She did say that they could start winding down the balance sheet later this year, which was already known, okay? She also talked about how if there's disruptions, then she could restart the reinvestments, meaning pause the wind down of the balance sheet. But she didn't say that she'd go back to QE, though. That was interesting. So there's there wasn't a whole lot of huge news from her testimony. It was kind of business as usual. Fed's still on the same path. And I think it'll be very interesting to see where we are in September when it's widely expected for the Fed to announce their next their wind down of the balance sheet. Their next meeting is actually coming up. I believe it's the end of this month, early August. And that's when they will probably give a little more indication of whether September is their month. Now, financial advisor Justin Klein, your first priority in investing is to focus on risk management. And we've talked about where we see a kind of a market sell-off starting later this month. And remember, a 50% loss requires an astounding 100% gain just to get back to even. So you can see your wealth will be determined more by how much you don't lose than how much you gain. You have questions about that? How to mitigate risk? 8899 Chart is how to get through right now.
Hi, Steve. I have a question on a penny stock that I've owned for the last couple of years. It was losing money until just recently, and it has shot up. I've made over 100% on my small investment. The stock is Zion Oil, ZN. They're a Texas drilling company drilling in Israel, and I invested a small amount of money back in 2015, thinking that there may be rich oil discovered in Israel someday. My question is this. Since I've already made 100% on my small investment, is this still a good time to buy additional shares of that stock, Zion Oil? I'll wait for your answer on the air. Thank you.
All right, he's looking at Zion Oil and Gas. The symbol is ZN, and he's right. They have had a big run after many years of just kind of bumping along at the $1 to $2 level for the past, I hit the wrong button on my computer. Yeah, from pretty much 2012 on, it's been bumping around the $1 to $2 level, and it hit high of almost $7 or a couple days ago, pulled back at $4.25. You know, I wouldn't be buying more, especially since you're up a little bit. I would take some off the table because, yes, they it looks like they've hit some oil, but what is that really going to mean for profitability? What's their cost, all-in cost going to be of getting that oil out of the ground? There's not enough information for me to really understand that, and I'm not sure if you can figure that out. You could probably read their filings and see what they're saying and get a little sense of that, and you'd really have to dig deep to really understand that. But they're still losing money. Will they make money? No analysts are really covering this to really get projections because it's such a small company. So what I would do is, I would take some off the table, take your original principal off the table, and let it ride, at least for a little while, and see if this momentum keep going. Yeah, it's pulled back, but it still remains in an uptrend. So any penny stock, it's always a gamble, and you hit it nicely on this one. And usually, most penny stocks go back into the pennies eventually. So take some off the table and keep riding the rest. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. Invest Talk is a conversation. So let's get your voice in on the mix. 888-99-CHART. So you get through and ask your question on today's show. And I always encourage you to do it sooner rather than later. We have about 35 minutes left in the show, but we'll go by quickly. Now, knowing your net worth can really help you achieve your financial goals. It's the perfect starting place to figure out a plan. And the reason that is because if you don't know where exactly you are today, then you don't know how much money your assets can grow. You don't know what track you are on for future dates of goals, not just retirement, but other things as well. So you really need to sit down and not only determine your cash flows on a daily basis, you know, budgeting, but get your net worth. Calculate it. It'll help you make better decisions, like making big purchases of a home, a vehicle, maybe a college education. Give you a better idea how to structure your financial estate later in life. So there's a three-step process. And the first is to take all your personal assets, talking checking, savings, investing accounts. So for example, you might have $1,000 in checking, $4,000 in savings, $25,000 in mutual funds, bonds, stocks, bonds, other types of financial assets, right? You also might have a 401k, IRA, SEP plan, other tax-deferred accounts, like a 403b. Maybe you have a life insurance policy. Okay, like a whole life or a universal life, which we wouldn't recommend, but maybe you do. And that's another maybe $25,000 in retirement plans and $5,000 in life policies. Then you have to look at your home, your car, boat, any recreational vehicles. And know that some may appreciate over time, like a home, some may decrease over time, like a car. Then you talk about jewelry, artwork, computers, other types of valuables. Let's say that's $10,000. So you add this all up, it's about $370,000 in assets. Then you need to look at the other side. What debts do you have? All your debts, mortgages, auto loans, leases. Lease is a debt. It's an obligation. Student education loans, credit card balances. So let's say you have about $255,000 in that. Actually, let's say all your debts, yours $264,000. Take $370 minus $264, you get $106,000. Okay? So those are the steps. It's simple math. It's not hard, but you should do it. And this is what we do for our clients. We give them tools to really bring all these together along with their cash flows, both current and future, like a pension, and model that out. And then when you have not only your current net worth, but also current and future cash flows, then you can start creating a picture, a map. We call it a retirement map, to mapping out your goals going forward. And you can see, we can run different Monte Carlo simulations to see whether you're on track or not. Give you the odds of you being successful. And if you're not, or the odds are against you, maybe you need to save more. Maybe you need to spend less. Maybe you need to retire later. Maybe you need to downsize your home. Maybe today or in retirement. There's a lot of different factors that go into understanding where you are. And finding out your net worth is the first step in that. So I hope that gives you a little to-do list, maybe, to figure out where you are and where you should be going. Now, the jobs report came out on Friday, and it was a good figure. 220,000 jobs were created in the month of June. And the previous months were also upgraded as well. So it presented a labor situation that was much improved, an improved tone relative to what we saw in really April and May were pretty poor numbers. They were both sub 150,000. And now they've been upgraded. So the moving average is now ticking up a little bit, which is a good sign after pretty much being on a downtrend since 2014-15, we've been on a downtrend for the moving average, the 6-month moving average, apologize. And the only issue with the report was that hourly earnings trends remain pretty muted. The inflation target of 2% by the Fed looks still difficult to achieve. And the implicit signs from the jobs report is that the economy is at least maintaining a steady underlying trend that should eventually support firmer inflation results, but we're not seeing that yet. So, despite solid payroll gains, inflation is not coming. And this is a constant trend that really hasn't changed since the beginning of the recovery. Now we're at the halfway mark. I want to hear from you at 888-99-CHART. Give us a call.
Our podcast continues. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and their new Disciplined Equity Program. This is an addition to KPP's select investment programs, and it raises expectations. It targets focused growth for maximum returns. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing on only high-quality companies. And although the portfolio is concentrated, it limits exposure to any one sector of the market. Check it out if you're interested. Click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com or click on Contact Steve and he'll gladly fill you in about it. As with all of KPP's programs, a KPP Financial principal is personally invested right alongside their clients. This is parallel investing and it's your assurance of optimum care and diligence. The new Disciplined Equity Program from KPP Financial. Now let's get back to the podcast. Now let's get back to the Money Talk. Financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein is ready for your money question. Maybe you want to talk about real estate. He's up for that. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Go to Dan in Palo Alto. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, Justin. Fine. Just had a quick question about Netflix. Okay. I'm an owner. It's done well. Should I take some off the table or just have a really tight stop on it or let it ride? And I'll take your answer off on the air if I could.
Okay. No problem. We're value investors, and in no way, shape, or form is Netflix a value stock. So it's enterprise value to EBITDA is 103. We'd like to see it like under 10, under 12. So it's drastically overvalued. They're spending a lot of money on content, and I love their content. I have Netflix. I watch it. I watch House of Cards, and there's a lot of great content on there. However, it's not translating into earnings, even though revenue growth is very, very strong. And the cash flow is still negative. They burned about almost $2 billion in cash flow over the past trailing 12 months, $1.7 billion. Now, a lot of that has to do with spending on content. Can they stop that? That's my question. And will that change how their users pay for Netflix, or will they stop paying for it? I don't think they'll stop. But also, when value starts to reassert itself in the marketplace and growth is no longer the name of the game, which was happened in 2016, we've had a resurgence of growth so far in 2017, but I think we're very close to that flipping back the other way. And you're going to see money coming out of names that don't produce a lot of profits compared to their market cap, and Netflix is one of those. So I would definitely take at least some of your money off the table, if not all of it. I really don't like Netflix at all longer term at these prices. At lower prices, yeah, it's a good company. But at 100 enterprise value to EBITDA, just can't swallow that. And a market cap of $68 billion, on a earnings of, 43 cents a share. Yeah, they're going to make more money next year. Make $2 the year after. I mean, $158 stock, you're still talking about an 80 P ratio. which is just way too high. So I would definitely take money off the table on Netflix. 888-99 chart is how to get through right now, and let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. Once again, 888-99 chart is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I love the program, listen to the podcast every day, and look forward to it. I wanted to ask you a question about Kinder Morgan, KMI. I'm holding Kinder Morgan in my retirement accounts, my IRAs. I've held it now for about 4 years. Bought it up in the upper 30s. It's now trading around 19 after the drop in oil prices. Lived through them cutting their dividend. I know they have a lot of riding on a one big project, the Trans Mountain project in Canada. Wanted to know your opinion if I should hold it or move on to something else. My horizon is about 5 to 7 years till retirement when I might want that money. So thanks again. Love the program, and I'll be listening for your answer.
All right, he's looking at Kinder Morgan Incorporated. They provide natural gas transportation and storage services in North America. I remember when they did this deal, there was some sort of merger with Kinder Morgan Partners and Kinder Morgan, and it created a lot of debt. And I didn't like it at that time, and that sounds like it was around the time that he bought it in the upper 30s. And with oil prices really dropping, they had to cut their dividend and try to pay down some of that debt. And they've done that. Their financial leverage has declined pretty significantly, from about 5.7 in 2013 to about 2.3 in the last quarter. So they're doing good. They have a lot of positive cash flow. At these levels, you know, it's not expensive. It's not cheap. I would say it's fairly priced now. Whereas, you know, that merger back in, when was that? 2011, when it was around 30, went up to mid 40s, and now down to 19. You know, back then it was overvalued. Now I'd say it's probably fairly valued. Are there better opportunities in the marketplace? I would say yes. Is this the worst? No, I think it's okay at these levels. If your time horizon is 5 to 7 years, I'd say I think the oil market's gonna have trouble over the next 5 to 7 years. There's gonna be a lot of jockeying for position in the oil markets between the Middle East and shale producers and big integrated oil companies, and a lot of shale producers that are on the brink of bankruptcy and probably will go bankrupt next time oil dips down into the 30s again. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride over the next 5 to 7 years, and it's not super undervalued to get me excited about it. So I think you'll do okay, but you'll probably have a bumpy ride. You're only getting 2.6% dividend. I can find much better than that in today's marketplace and in other industries as well. So I would go that route. I would dump it and find something better. Now, we have an award-winning system that can help you determine your optimum level of risk. Now, what it does is puts you through a quick questionnaire, 3-4 minutes, assigns your risk number after you answer a short series of questions. Then, what we can do is take that number and help you determine if your current retirement portfolio or any portfolio that you have matches up, if you're invested properly, because that's the main problem that most investors have. They're taking too much or too little risk. They're taking too much risk, market goes down, and they panic out and they freak out because they see too big of a decline in their portfolios. Not taking enough risk, then markets go up and they get FOMO, fear of missing out, and then they tend to ramp up their risk just at the wrong time. Okay? So our goal is to help you find that your current investments match up with your actual risk tolerance. Try to get you in line. And then also connect that with your whole picture as well. You know, that's what we do for clients. Connect to the whole picture as well of what are your cash flows today, in the future, what are your assets, not just your retirement portfolios, but all your assets. What does your financial plan look like? So, but the risk questionnaire is the first step in that process. So give it a try right now on investtalk.com.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hey, Steve, Justin, Tom from Los Angeles. I just wanted to know if you could shed some light on a good buying point for Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company, TSM. Thanks. Love your show.
All right, he's looking at TSM. We actually had owned this a couple of years back. It's a good company, good profitability, pretty consistently higher earnings. So I like the company as a whole. I don't like it at these prices. It's pretty expensive. So, and you're seeing the whole semiconductor space really come back down to earth recently, or weaken, let's say that. Let's just say weaken. And Taiwan Semiconductor's really no different, even though it had a bounce over the last 4 or 5 days. But let me give you kind of a longer-term price level that I would get into Taiwan Semiconductor, because I do like the company. Should be on your watch list. I'm going to go... The first big support would be $25 a share. I always like two levels because you never know where it's going to stop and where the best buy point's going to be. But I can give you some good support levels to buy and valuations as well. So right now, it's slightly overvalued. Let's say a little bit overvalued. $25 a share, I would say, would be a little bit undervalued, and it would be at good support level. A huge buy, a long-term great buy for me would be at about $18 a share. $18 a share, I would buy it hand over fist, and odds are you'll probably get there sometime during the next downturn in the market, so the next bear market, shall we say. So that was Taiwan Semiconductor. TSM is the symbol. Hope that helped with your buy points. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, real tax reform remains a very big if when it comes to Congress and President Trump. And they're promising to slash rates and really overhaul the tax code. And that's really needed. You know, the tax code is too complex. And they're talking about how most itemized deductions taxpayers can claim on their tax returns will probably go away. And this is a proposal both by the White House and the House Republicans about getting rid of all deductions except for mortgage interest and charitable contributions. And if this did happen, it would affect about 30% of federal tax filers who today choose to itemize because their deductions combined exceed the value of their standard deduction, which is currently $6,300 for an individual and $12,600 for a joint filer. Now, the vast majority of those who make over $200,000 a year itemize, about 93%. 77% who make between 100 and 200, 56% who make between 75 and 100, and it kind of goes down from there. Now, any tax reform the current Congress might pass could entail a big cut in rates, which is a positive. And also a larger standard deduction. But that would mean that certain deductions that you may benefit largely from today would go away completely, like state and local tax deductions. Today, if you itemize, you can write off your state and local income taxes or general sales taxes, plus property taxes. And this is big for those who live in states like New York and California, like myself and Steve, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, since our show airs in Silicon Valley. Now, the Republican bills in the House and Senate to repeal and replace Obamacare would preserve the write-off for medical expenses. So that might be another one that stays along with mortgage and charitable contributions. So right now, anything above 10% of your adjusted gross income, anything higher than 10% on medical expenses, you can deduct. And the Obamacare repeal and replace bill, is supposed to keep that in place. And I think it likely will, because I can't imagine, I think that a lot of people would be up in arms, because especially the way medical expenses have skyrocketed, medical inflation has skyrocketed over the last 20 years or so, a lot of people are taking advantage of that. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's just the nature of it. Then also investment interest. Now today, you can write off interest paid on loans for income-producing investments. So getting rid of, so what that means is, right now, if you buy stocks on margin, you're paying margin interest, well, you can write that cost off. And in the proposal, that would go away. Now, wouldn't it go away for businesses who pay interest to support their business? Interest on loans still is a business expense. So it would stay in place for businesses, but would go away for individuals. And then lastly, miscellaneous expenses, like write-offs for business purposes that you didn't get reimbursed for. A lot of people list those, like say, a dinner that you took a client out to or a potential client and you had to pay for personally, your company didn't reimburse you. Today, you can write that off. In the proposed tax reform bill, you can't. And then there's other ones like gambling losses, theft losses from income-producing properties, etc. Those could potentially go away as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, but I would not expect tax reform to happen this year. They're still struggling with health care reform, and they need health care reform to afford tax reform. Why is that? Because the cost of Obamacare now and going forward is only going to increase, and they need to get savings from there so they can pass those savings along to taxpayers and have the budget going forward be relatively neutral and not have the deficit skyrocket, because a lot of House and Senate Republicans are fiscal hawks and they don't want to see the deficit blow up. So it's so for various reasons, the current repeal and replace of Obamacare isn't really going anywhere, and one of the main reasons is no money, and tax reform isn't going anywhere because healthcare is going nowhere. Now you're listening to Invest Talk. Don't hold back. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. We're going into our last segment. So if you have a question, whatever it is about money, we'll try to get your question in before the time is up at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Chris from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I have a question about Foot Locker, FL. It's had a big drop here recently, and it seems to be bouncing a little bit. Do you think this is a good time to take a position? All right, thank you much. Bye-bye.
All right, I was looking at Foot Locker, and this is a name that has been beaten down along with a lot of the retail industry because of fears of Amazon just taking over the retail world and leaving every other retailer in its wake. And that's basically become the mantra of the market, and really I think it's an overblown statement. Not that I think Amazon's bad or is going to fail or anything, but it's not going to be the only player. And Foot Locker has gone from about $80 a share late last year to $48 a share today. And I actually think it does have a little bit lower to go. I think $41, $42 a share, that's where I would like to pick up Foot Locker. I do think it's a very good value at these levels, although technically it does continue. It's not really bouncing that strongly, and that worries me and tells me that it's probably going to continue lower into the low 40s, and that's where I'd pick it up. And the reason I'd pick it up is because It still has good earnings, even though they're not growing very dramatically. Its enterprise value to EBITDA is less than 5, very cheap. Operating to earnings yield is about 15%, very high. Yields about 2.5% on its dividend, and its payout ratio is only 23%, so they certainly could raise that as long as they can keep their earnings flat. So overall, I think it's a decent retail play. Now, one thing I don't like about it is the fact that they don't really have really their own brand. And I talked a little about L Brands, I think on Monday, about Victoria's Secret and Bath & Body Works. Now, they have brands that kind of people have affinity to and they like. They like those brands. And they're still going to go into the stores. Where Foot Locker, you know, they sell Nike and Adidas and all these other brands that you could buy on Amazon. And that's what worries me the most about Foot Locker. But from a fundamental standpoint, it's starting to look very cheap. But technically, it still needs a little bit more to the downside into the low 40s for me to pick it up on a technical basis. So I need both things to line up, and the technicals aren't quite lining up just yet. Now let's get the last word today to Jim in San Diego. He called our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Well, this is Jim in San Diego. Good morning, Steve and Justin. I was just wondering if you could look at a stock for me, HRTG, Heritage Insurance. It looks undervalued to me, and if you look at the chart, it looks like a head and shoulders pattern. And I just wonder if you could look at that and see if I'm looking at it wrong and what I'm missing. Have a great day. Enjoy your show. Thanks. Bye.
He's looking at Heritage Insurance Holdings, offering personal and commercial residential insurance for single-family homeowners, condominium owners in Florida. Interesting. It's a very niche, small insurer, only $358 million market cap. They are profitable, and you're looking at a pattern, and it does kind of look like a head and shoulders pattern. However, it's near the low end of its chart, and to me, that's just more of a bearish consolidation. So I don't like the chart pattern, although I wouldn't call it a head and shoulders. Let me look at the fundamentals a little bit deeper. Operating earnings yield is 15.7, very high. It is relatively cheap. What's its debt look like? Not a lot of debt. Yeah, once again, a pretty good value. Yields about 2%. Kind of similar numbers as Foot Locker, even though it's very different industries. Similar numbers when it comes to valuation. But once again, the chart just does not look healthy at all. So I would need to see this break above its 100-week moving average. Right now, that's about 1550. And until then, it just looks very bearish. So I would hold off until you see this chart starting to strengthen a little bit. Time's up for the hour. Looking at Steve's portfolio checkup schedule, he'll be in San Jose next week on the 18th. Or you can always meet him or myself via Skype or phone from anywhere. To reserve your hour for an individual portfolio review, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Steve Peasley and the whole KPP family, thanks for being with us. Let's get together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.